You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, last time we talked, and I think maybe even once or twice before that, we were talking about concerns about Julio Teheran. Last time out, he looked like the guy that the Braves are used to seeing and expect to see. What was different about him last time out as opposed to previous outings this year?
I think what we saw yesterday was the more aggressive Julio Teheran. And in the process of being more aggressive, we did see him go back to relying on the fastball as frequently as he did in the past when he's been successful. But at the same time, what we saw were some swings and misses from that fastball that we hadn't seen in the past. He went through a string yesterday where he struck out five consecutive batters, and within that span, he got he threw a couple 94-mile-per-hour fastballs that we hadn't seen at least the last few weeks from him. So the heater, the velocity was back, a little bit more movement with his two-seamer, and you just saw a little bit more edge to him. The previous three starts, you know, he stepped back yesterday and said, look, maybe I wasn't as aggressive as I needed to be in those outings. And but I think, you know, not only just getting back to throwing that fastball four strikes, adding a little bit of velocity, made his slider and other secondary stuff a little bit more effective as well yesterday.
So it's kind of a chicken-egg thing. Was he not throwing the fastball because he didn't have faith in it, or was the fastball less effective because he was throwing it with less conviction and less often? I mean, if the life on it comes back and he starts throwing it more in the same start, how do you kind of parse that? What led to what, and what kind of changed in both ways?
Well, you know, I think when we talked last time, Freddy Gonzalez had reviewed and Roger McDowmore had reviewed those films of his previous three starts and said he hadn't been throwing the fastball. Now, if you go back and look at the numbers, he did throw the fastball just as frequently as he had in the past during the one start against the Mets. Now, he didn't have his secondary stuff that day because he couldn't get a feel in the windy weather, which we've seen that be a problem with him in the past. The other two starts, I think it was more of a shying away from the fastball. The one in Toronto when he gave up four home runs, the one here against the Nationals where he gave up seven runs. Only three of them were earned, but if you watched the game and saw that he gave up 10 hits, it was constant trouble. Had he even gotten out of that with five innings and three earned runs, you know, I there were still going to be concerns because the velo just wasn't there, and the contact rate was consistent there with, or you know, the Nationals were consistently making contact with that fastball, and more importantly, putting it in play with regularity. And I think that's what we saw. We just saw a few more swings and misses yesterday. Still not to the point to where you'd say, hey, look, this is the Julio Teheran of old. His swing and miss pitch is the slider. I'm not going to say he's going to use that fastball and going to blow guys away with regularity. But I think what we saw yesterday was more indicative of where he wants to get to as he's moving forward. A guy who, you know, tries to get ahead with first pitch strike and hope that makes his slider that much more effective later in the count.
To go elsewhere in that rotation, Mike Foltynewicz pitched on Friday night, and it was kind of a mixed bag, but if you're going to grade on a curve for a guy who's making his debut with a club as a prospect, probably some things to like. What did they like? What did they not like about what they saw from him in his first start?
I think if you take a step back, what you have to like most about his outing is that he was able to bounce back from a rough first inning and pitch quite effectively. Or, well, let's say this. He was able to pitch and escape some the threats that he encountered through over the remainder of his five-inning stint. I think he was only perfect in one of those five innings. So he was encountering trouble the whole time. You saw some life on the fastball. You saw the breaking ball was you saw the potential with it. You saw why, you know, that this guy's stuff is going to catch eyes. But at the same time, you know, that the Reds stole five bases against him. He has altered his delivery to where he has a little bit of a hip turn. He has done this hip turn to slow himself down, his delivery down, with the hope of gaining more consistent command, throwing more strikes. At the same time, what it has done, it has given opposing base runners, you know, the invitation to steal at will, it seems like. Within that start, there were two different – once they stole the three bases in the first inning, he went from a 1.8 with his delivery to a 1.1. It was somewhere in between. Freddie Gonzalez said after the game, look, we need him to be somewhere in between. At 1.8, he's 2.2 slow. Guys are going to run on him at 1.1. He's rushing himself to the mound. So this guy, he is a work in progress. The stuff is there. I think the one most encouraging thing I think the Braves see out of this was the makeup. A guy who, you know, it was a rough first inning, came back and held strong the rest of the way. You know, I don't think I saw that guy in spring training. I saw a guy who, when he got in trouble, he went ahead and tried to overpower somebody. The other night he pitched more frequently. Spring training, we saw him give up back-to-back home runs because he was frustrated one day. I saw him react to a two-out walk to at the bottom of the order, and then he walked the next two guys during one of those outings down there in Florida. I didn't see that guy the other night. I saw a more mature guy, a little more relaxed guy. And I think, you know, now he's got the first one under his belt. We'll see where he goes. Hey, look, he's not going to – he's far from a finished product, but at the same time, look, this goes without saying, but a lot better seeing him out there than Trevor Cahill.
So where does he stand going forward? Is he in the rotation? Is it still start to start? What's the status for him in the rotation?
No, the plan is for Fulton Evans to be in the rotation for the foreseeable future. Now, you know, if he struggles here over a few starts, you know, they may have to take a step back and say, look, are we doing him more harm than good to keep him in the rotation? But, yeah, I think their hope is that he remains in the rotation for the rest of the season. What does that do for Trevor Cahill? For right now, I don't think they're worrying about that. Yes, they've spent the $5.5 million on him. We talked about that last week. That's pretty expensive for, you know, a long reliever. Or, you know, if you want to take a step back and just say, hey, look, it's a pretty expensive draft pick there with the 75th overall selection coming the same deal as Cahill from the Diamondbacks. But at the same time, I think they're looking at this maybe as a sunk cost. They're looking to do whatever they can to stay competitive. And if Fulton Evans continues to, you know, make progress, he's going to take his lumps. But as long as he is moving in the right direction, I do expect him to be in the rotation the rest of the year.
Bounce around a little. What got into Kelly Johnson?
What I will say about Kelly Johnson is this. We have seen Kelly streaky in the past, you know. So let's see what the next month or a few weeks bring. You know, when he gets hot, it's hard to sneak anything past him. But this has been fun. You know, it's great to see – somebody that you saw or covered as a kid, come back home and have this kind of success. And really, it was cool to see the smile on his face after getting to run out to third base before yesterday's game. And his son's little league team was there. Of course, his son was standing there at third base. And then you've got, who knows what the exact time span was, but 10 to 15 minutes later, Kelly's rounding the bases with his fifth homer of the year. And look, he's hit five home runs already here through the first season's first month. He hit seven home runs last year playing for three different, you know, AL East teams. It was a frustrating season. He could not, you know, stick with a team. I think in the back of his head, he was contemplating retirement. You know, maybe this is it. And Freddie Gonzalez called in January and said, look, come to camp. We'll find you a spot. And I remember being in Kissimmee on probably, let's see, the Grapefruit League season started, I believe, on March 4th, probably March 11th. I'm sitting there talking to a scout, and he said, boy, his bat is so slow, he's done. And it was like 3 or 4 days later, he got going and finished that Grapefruit League season strong, and really he has been a great asset here for the Braves. You know, look, I don't expect him to continue hitting for this kind of power, but if he can continue to be in the solid utility guy, a guy that they can fill in here and there out there in left field. If he gets a majority of the starts out there in left field, then I don't think that it's a completely lost season. I think they will make some adjustments here. Maybe even when they bring up some of the other kids, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But it's nice to have a guy like Kelly, a veteran who can play left field, can play third base, put him at second base. His best role is as a utility player, but for now, he's going to enjoy this run that he's on.
Is he going to be part of that third base mix while Chris Johnson's out?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he was there yesterday. He's not there today. They've got he's actually out of lineup today. Ferry Gonzalez thought about giving him a day off yesterday. He played, so I would think that was his seventh straight start yesterday. So he's just getting a day off today. But I do think that he will see some time there. They're just as comfortable with him there as they are with Alberto Collazo, and probably better. You know, Kelly's probably a better defender there. So you'll see him maybe get a majority of the starts there against right-handers. Now the question is, what do you do out there in left field? So he's just with Johnny Gomes, the days that you don't want him facing a certain right-hander. You know, Kelly may be out there and Collazo at third.
And one last thing, because I get to be the one who asked the questions. Cameron Maben hitting .220, still really effective because he's drawing walks, because he's hitting for power. We've talked about center field options. Eric Young is not hitting a thing. Is Maben, despite the batting average, starting to claim that center field role a little more from Eric Young?
Yes, I do think so. I think let's go back a month, and I'm going to say this, Matthew. You win on that argument. I would have said that Eric Young Jr. would have been the one that they kept producing. You win on the Cameron Maben argument because, yes, there's no reason to continue running Eric Young Jr. out there. Why don't you just give Cameron Maben, a majority of starts if you want to give him a day off occasionally, then throw EY out there. That's fine. Let's take that a step further. Last week when they made their roster move, when they needed to create a roster spot on Saturday, they ended up bringing up Pedro Siriaco from going out. I thought they should have gone with Todd Cunningham and gone ahead and released Eric Young Jr. At that point in time. I've seen enough from EY to say, look, it's not going to work. Go ahead and at least give a kid in your system a chance to share or serve as Cameron Maben's backup. I do not know exactly when Eric Young will, maybe get back in the lineup. From all indications, he's healthy. But this guy needs to figure something out. And unfortunately, you can't send him to the minors right now. At this stage of his career, he doesn't seem willing to do that. So I think what you're seeing is that you're going to see Cameron Maben out there. I don't think Eric Young Jr. will be here all season. But the one thing, the one element that I am a little bit surprised about is that Jose Peraza has not played any center field down there at Gwinnett yet. If anyone was thinking, hey, look, Peraza will be in center field at some point, I'd still expect him to be in Atlanta maybe some point in June. But their initial plans to have him play some center field and possibly come here to Atlanta and help out at that position, it doesn't seem like they're leaning that way right now.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.